Okay, now we're back to that piece of Maimonides in Laws of Kings 10. And we're going to be dealing with the reason why a Ben Noach cannot keep the Sabbath. Okay, if you remember, what Maimonides says is that he says a person who is a Ben Noach is not allowed to rest even on the days of the week, and it would appear certainly not on the Sabbath day. Okay, and certainly he's not allowed to make a special holiday for himself. Now, Maimonides continues, and he says, the general principle is that they are not permitted. In other words, the Ben Noach is not permitted to create a new religion or to do commandments for themselves out of their own volition, due to their own intent. Okay, now you have to be careful, as I say, you know, that's what literal translations break down. You have to know what Maimonides means here. And then Maimonides continues, he says, but either he should become a ger tzedek, which means a complete proselyte, and accept all the mitzvahs, all the commandments, or he should remain with his Torah, he shouldn't add, and he shouldn't subtract. And if he studies Torah, meaning outside of his laws, or if he keeps the Sabbath, or if he should try to create some new kind of religious practice on his own. So Maimonides says that the court must stop him. All right, and the court has to inform him that this is a serious infraction, and it's really in God's eyes he's culpable for the death penalty. Okay, now the next piece of Maimonides says that Ben Noach that wishes to do any mitzvah of the Torah in order to receive reward, we do not prevent them from doing it according to its complete halachic requirements. All right? Now, so, right. So, Maimonides, it would seem to be in a contradiction here. Because on the one hand, he says that he says that the person should remain with his seven mitzvot, he shouldn't add and he shouldn't subtract. Correct? And then he says if he wishes to do a commandment in order to receive reward, then it's okay. So that's one problem. The second problem we have in Maimonides is, why does Maimonides say that if Ben Noach keeps the Sabbath, he puts this in the same category as a Ben Noach creating a law for himself, as if he created a ritual or some kind of religious practice for himself? That would seem to be two different things. Creating one's own religious practice would seem to be one thing, and keeping the Sabbath would seem to be something else. Yet Maimonides classifies all this under one general law. And it would seem to be that they should be two separate, diverse things. All right? That's the problem we have here with this little piece of Maimonides. Now, I believe the answer is as follows. This is what I think the answer is. You see, what Maimonides is saying is that Two things. He is saying, first of all, that he's giving you the theory. See, Maimonides is giving you the theory of why the Ben Noach cannot keep the Sabbath. He's explaining it, actually. If you listen carefully to what he's saying, and you unravel his formulation, you'll see that behind this formulation is a theory. Now, I'm going to help you out with what that theory is. See, according to Maimonides, what Maimonides is saying is that the Ben Noach basically cannot keep Sabbath, and he cannot do the other mitzvos, and if he does so, it's considered as if he is creating his own religion. He's adding to his seven. He must remain with his seven, not to add, not to subtract. Okay? Now, the reason is as follows. Of course, what Maimonides maintains is, you see, when it comes to, let's take Sabbath as apart from other mitzvahs. Of course, I told you, Maimonides says right after that, that a Ben-Noach that wants to do other mitzvahs of the Torah is permitted to do it, if he wants to do it in order to receive reward. And that was, again, seems to be a contradiction to what he said before. But let's leave that contradiction out of the picture for just for a moment. Let's differentiate between the rest of the mitzvahs of the Torah, which you know practically a Ben Noach can do, and the Sabbath, which he can't do. Okay? Now, why should there be such a differentiation? All right? According to Maimonides, Maimonides was a Talmudist, and according to Maimonides, Maimonides knew very well that the mitzvah, the commandment of Sabbath, differs from every other commandment, and Sabbath and holidays, and I'll explain to you why. If you, let's say, for instance, you take a mitzvah, you take a commandment, such as taking the four species on Sukkot, all right? So the festival of booths, you take the four species. Now, what is the commandment over there? The commandment is simply to lift up these four species, all right? You add them together, you lift them up. All right, you know that it's also, it's used during the... during the prayer of praise of Hallel, it is the lulav is, you know, the four species, you shake them in different directions, okay? So that's a fulfillment, that's an additional fulfillment of it. But the basic law of the Torah is simply to just pick them up. If a person picks them up, then he fulfills the mitzvah. All right? Now, what Maimonides is saying is as follows. That kind of a mitzvah is a mitzvah which a Ben Noach can do as well. Because it's an activity. It's an action. And the same thing, for instance, with phylacteries. So the Ben Israel puts on phylacteries, and the Ben Noach can put on phylacteries as well. He's doing an action, and which is considered a mitzvah. It's a commandment, and that's fine. However, when you come to the Sabbath, Sabbath is different than every other commandment. Of course, in the Sabbath, you aren't doing anything in Sabbath. What you're doing is abstaining from doing things. But there is no real activity. Okay? Now, this is the important point. That in the way we keep Sabbath differently than we do every other commandment. Because every positive commandment, there is a doing, an action of doing. But when it comes to the Sabbath, it's an abstention. Okay? Now, why is the Sabbath... Why do we abstain? Why does the Ben Israel abstain from work on the Sabbath? The answer is because the Sabbath is a reality for the Ben Israel. In other words, God has designated this day as a day which is special for the Ben Israel, and he must abstain from work on that day. Okay? So the reason why the Ben Israel must abstain is because the Sabbath day is a reality. It's a halachic reality to him. This day, God designated, gave a special designation, and has a specific halachic designation, and that designation is that the Ben Israel must refrain from work. Okay? Now, see, when God gave this commandment to Israel, he did not give it to them in an optional way. He didn't say, if you want to keep the Sabbath, you can't keep it. If you don't want to, you don't have to. As a matter of fact, it would be impossible. It would have been impossible to give the Sabbath in such a way, because the Sabbath. You see, you could give a commandment like, let's say, God could have said, it's optional. You can pick up the four species on the holiday or festival festival of booths, or you don't have to. It's an optional thing. God could have said that with regard to that commandment. Okay, there are very few commandments that are optional. There are certain things that are optional, but. Basically, all the commandments are mandatory. Now, but God could have said that. He could have said, if you want to put a phylactery, it's good. If you don't, okay. Now, with regard to Sabbath, he could not have said such a thing. Why? Because either the Sabbath is a reality, halachically, in which case you must abstain. If it's not a reality, so then you can't keep it. Do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, what I'm trying to say is that Sabbath could never be an optional performance, because because Sabbath is dependent upon the fact that this day has a special designation in which you are prohibited to do any work. Now, that means that this day exists, has a special kind of reality to it, halachically. Now, either it has that reality or it doesn't. Now, if God gives the Sabbath, that means, when he gives the Sabbath, when he gives the Sabbath to Ben Israel, it means that this day for Ben Israel has a certain, it's a different kind of a day. And that the difference, because it's different, the Ben Israel must abstain. But God could never have said to the Ben Israel, look, if you want to keep it, you can. If not, not. The question is, does it exist or not? I'm not keeping anything. If I abstain from 39 types of work and there is no real Sabbath, let's say I abstain on Friday, it's worthless because it's meaningless. The only reason the abstention has any value is because the day has already been defined by God as being different, as having a different quality, you understand? If that quality doesn't exist, then all the abstentions are just nonsensical. They're worthless. So therefore, the Sabbath really could never have been given in an optional way. Whereas other commandments, God could have given them in an optional way. From a logical standpoint, he could have said, if you want to do it, you can. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. Okay? So this is a very important concept. Now, what Maimonides is saying, and you'll see how beautifully Maimonides fits in, his whole law is based on this underlying theory. And that is as follows. Maimonides was wondering, why can the Ben Noach really not keep Sabbath? After all, he can keep everything else. So Maimonides concludes, very simple, why he can't do it. It's not that the Torah is trying to penalize the Ben Noach. It's not that God doesn't want the Ben Noach to keep it. It's that the Ben Noach is in a situation where he cannot possibly keep it without creating his own religion, without creating a commandment of his own. Why? Because since the Ben Noach is not obligated to keep it, so you must say that for him this day is not defined by God as being different. So therefore, if he tries to do it, what he's doing is he's making his own holiday. Now, if God had said, well, a Ben Noach can keep it or cannot keep it, it would be impossible for God to say that. Why? As we said with regard to the Ben Israel, because Sabbath cannot be an optional phenomena. Either it is a phenomena, it exists, in which case you're bound to keep it. If it's not a phenomena, then what you're doing is nonsense. It's different than an action like putting on phylacteries, where you could say, well, if you put it on, fine, wonderful. You didn't put it on? Okay, it could be an optional thing. Whereas Sabbath, the way the concept, the idea of Sabbath, the way Sabbath is formulated according to halacha, does not allow itself to be given in an optional way. Since that's the case, we have to ask the question with regard to the Ben Noach. Is Sabbath a reality for the Ben Noach? If you're going to answer yes, then every Ben Noach must keep it. There's no in-between. You must keep it. We know that a Ben Noach does not have to keep it. Therefore, we must say that God did not make this reality, this halachic reality, did not make this halachic reality exist insofar as the Ben Noach is concerned. So now it doesn't exist insofar as the Ben Noach. Well, then, if the Ben Noach does it, what he's doing is nonsense. It's worse than nonsense. It means he is creating a fictional kind of holiday. That's a major prohibition. Because no one is allowed to create their own commandments. So in essence, he's making his own religion. That's why Maimonides says, and this will also explain the other contradiction we raised, because he says, in law number 10, Maimonides states, law number 9 rather, Maimonides says, that he must, either he should become a complete proselyte, if he wants to keep all the commandments, or he should remain with his commandments, he shouldn't add, and he shouldn't subtract. Then in the very next law, no more than three lines away, Maimonides says, a Ben Noach that wants to do a mitzvah, a commandment from the other mitzvahs of the Torah, the other commandments, that's fine. How could he say that? He just got finished saying that he keeps seven, he's not allowed to add, and he's not allowed to subtract. What's the answer to this contradiction? Obviously, Maimonides didn't forget what he wrote three lines before. But the answer is precisely what we are saying. What Maimonides is saying is as follows, that the Ben Noach can never do a commandment as a mandatory type of activity, because then he would be inventing his own religion. If he says that God told me I must do this, and in fact that's not true, so then what he's doing is, he is creating his own kind of religion. This does not exist. So then he would be in violation. That's why Maimonides says he's not allowed to do any of the commandments. He should either just stay with the seven. Don't add, don't subtract. If he wants to do more, then he has to become a Ben Israel, because then he will be commanded. But insofar as long as he is a Ben Noach, he is not permitted to add or subtract. He means he's not permitted to add or subtract. He's not permitted to do them as if they were mandatory, like a Ben Israel. If he does that, then he's creating his own religion, just like with regard to the Sabbath, you see. However, Maimonides says that if the Ben Noach wishes to do the commandment in order to receive reward, that means not because he's constrained, he must do it, he's coerced to do it because God gave him the commandment, but because a voluntary basis, he wants to receive reward also, he wants to receive benefit, then it's fine. Then it's fine. Then on the contrary, Maimonides is talking, of course, to the, speaking, so to speak, to the, as if he was speaking to the Sanhedrin, he's saying that then what we do is, we make sure, you know, we instruct him, instruct the Ben Noach to do everything according, precisely according to Halacha. But this is the, and this is the neat point of Maimonides. Here you see, it's a good example of showing you how Talmudist, of course, one of the greatest, thinks, that how Maimonides solved the problem of why is it that the Ben Noach cannot keep Sabbath through halachic means. He simply showed that it's an impossibility. When it comes to every other commandment, the Ben Noach can do it because the other commandments lend themselves to a voluntary performance, lend themselves to a voluntary performance basis, whereas Sabbath can never lend itself to such a kind of a basis because of the nature of Sabbath. It either is or it isn't. There's no in-between. If it is, then you're constrained. You must keep the Sabbath. If it isn't, then you're keeping it is making up something that doesn't exist. So Maimonides explains that the Ben Noach, with regard to every other commandment, since it can be done on a voluntary basis, he's fine provided he realizes he is doing it on a voluntary basis, then he's not creating his own Torah. However, if he maintains that he's doing it on a mandatory basis, then it's equivalent to Sabbath. Because what is the violation of keeping Sabbath? Violation is that he is creating something which doesn't exist. Similarly, if he does a commandment on a mandatory basis, as if God instructed him to do it, and it's not true, so then he's doing it on a false pretense, on a false basis, then he is in his own mind, he's creating his own ceremonials, his own rituals, his own mitzvahs. Not permitted to do that. Cannot do that. You see, that's what Maimonides says. So Maimonides, with an ingenious piece of halachic insight, shows precisely why the Ben Noach cannot keep Sabbath. Sabbath is, it's not that the Sabbath was taken away from the Ben Noach. That's not why Maimonides maintains. The reason why he can't keep it is simply because in the halachic system, it would not lend itself to a voluntary type of a performance. And all the Ben Noach's actions, if he wants to do a mitzvah, must be on a voluntary basis. But Sabbath can't be voluntary. It either is or it isn't. It's a phenomenon. So does the phenomenon exist or does not exist? If it exists, it's mandatory. If it doesn't exist, then it's a waste of time. It's nothing. So then you're creating your own type of performance.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Question statement type thing. In Exodus 31, we have the section there where God says to the children of Israel that you'll keep the Sabbath as a sign between you and me throughout your generations. Hence, we have the perpetuality of the covenant. And he talks about it's a holy day, et cetera, et cetera. Then in chapter verse 17, and here's the one that I would say, right. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever.
Right.
For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now, I have 2 points. number one is that it appears to me that it is not, the Sabbath is not a synaptic phenomena, number one, that it is, the Sabbath was known, like many other things. I would say that the people perhaps did not have all the halakha related to it, but the Sabbath, the idea of the Sabbath was there for all of mankind. Then secondly, we go to Isaiah 60.
You're quoting me a verse that says it's only between God and the Jews. Is that a contradiction?
No. No, it is not.
Well, you're saying it's exclusively. It's
no, Don, bring this up so they can hear this too.
Okay. I mean, the quote you're quoting to me is from, if I got you right, it's Exodus 31:17.
That is correct.
So between me and the children of Israel, it is an everlasting sign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so wouldn't this seem to say that it's a sign to the exclusion of others, only between God and Israel?
I would say my contention is that we have here the same situation that we have with many of the other revelations from Sinai, that God puts specific restrictions upon Israel that is not placed upon other men, that the Sabbath can be acknowledged by the rest of humanity, but not in the specific manner as does the Ben Israel.
Oh, that's correct. I'm not disagreeing with that.
Okay.
Sure. I don't disagree with that. But I just want to really, as a matter of fact, I want to assist your argument, because I want to show you that when it says in the Torah that it's between me and between some people, it doesn't mean to the exclusion of others. I'll prove it to you. You see, because really, if you take a look at Genesis, and just give me a moment to find this. Okay. It says, for instance, Genesis 17, all right? 17:9-10. And God said to Abraham, and you will keep my covenant, you and your children afterwards for their generations. This is my covenant which you must keep between me and between you and between your children after you, that you must circumcise every male. Okay? So, and it repeats it again, there's more places, that this is a covenant between God and between Israel. So, between God and between Abraham, the seed of Abraham. So I want to show you that it's not exclusive. Why? Because we know that if a Ben Noach wishes to do the commandment of circumcision, he's permitted to. So you see, when the Torah says it's a sign, it doesn't mean to the exclusion of others. And that's why Maimonides, as a matter of fact, somebody asked me one time, what's the whole problem with the Ben Noach keeping the Sabbath? Because it states openly in Torah, it's a sign between God and Israel, which would mean to the exclusion of others. But what I wish to show you is that it's not to the exclusion of others, and because you see that it says the same thing by circumcision, and circumcision is not to the exclusion of others, so a sign doesn't necessarily mean that it excludes others. But Maimonides shows why it's impossible to have a Ben Noach perform it for a logical, halachic reason, because you cannot do, when a Ben Noach does a commandment, it must be on a voluntary basis. And Sabbath does not lend itself structurally, conceptually, doesn't lend itself to a voluntary kind of a situation. You see, that's what Maimonides, that's the ingenuity of Maimonides in his interpretation. But this is not to say, and that's what I'm going to get to right now. The point is that this only excludes the Ben Noach from keeping the Sabbath in the manner of a Ben Israel, which is abstention from work. However, the recognition of the Sabbath, that certainly is something which the whole world must recognize. That's not limited to Israel, because that's a phenomenon. In other words, that God created, in the beginning of Genesis, God created the world on the sixth day and seventh day. He rested, which means that the harmony of the entire universe took place on that in that seventh stage of creation, which, where harmony came into existence, that the whole world must recognize, and not just the Ben Israel, but in the halachic keeping of the mitzvah. The reason why the Ben Noach cannot keep it is because then he would get involved in creating something on his own which doesn't exist for him, because of the reason that Maimonides that you see emerges from understanding how Maimonides formulates his text. You see, that's the point I want to make. So, what can the, and your quote from the end of Isaiah is well taken, where it says that it will be on the, from the new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, that all flesh shall come before me to bow down, says the Lord. So this is correct. This means everyone. This obviously means everyone. It means the recognition of God's creation and the recognition of the Sabbath is really mandatory, actually, philosophically mandatory. It's not punishable. You know, the laws of the Ben Noach that have the death penalty are only the most basic fundamental ones. This is a societal phenomenon, the death penalty. But certainly philosophically, there are more extensions than just the seven, as you very well know. So the recognition of the creation, I mean, this is the recognition of creation. What could be more basic than that? So this, the Ben Noach is certainly obligated to recognize. But what Maimonides says is that we cannot do any halacha on our own. Not a Ben Israel and not a Ben Noach. No one is allowed to. That's what Moses said in Deuteronomy. Don't add from the law, and you're not permitted to subtract from the law. You can't make any changes. So the reason why the Ben Noach cannot keep the Sabbath, Maimonides explains beautifully, is because then he would technically be involved in adding. And that's why he can't do the Sabbath. Other things he can do. But it's not that he's excluded from the Sabbath. So what I'm trying to show from Maimonides is, on the contrary, that Maimonides did not believe that from a philosophical standpoint, from the standpoint of perfection of the human being, that the Ben Noach is any different, really, than the Ben Israel in terms of his recognition of the Sabbath. All Maimonides says is that he can't keep it, not because he's excluded, but because what would happen if one understands, if one has a deep understanding of how halacha works, he will see that if the Ben Noach would keep it, it would be tantamount to adding something which doesn't exist. And that's a major violation of the Torah for everyone, that you're not permitted to add and you're not permitted to subtract. You're only allowed to do a commandment when God gives it to you. That's why he says if he really wants to do those commandments, there's only way he could do it. The only way is become a proselyte, and then God gave him the commandments. But not that he should initiate commandments on his own. That's what Maimonides does. So after you get through with Maimonides, you really see the whole picture, because you understand that there are two components to Torah. There's the halachic component, which, I mean, you know, as you know very well, I mean, there's the 613 commandments, and the formulation is exactly precisely how we do them and how we understand them. And then there is the perfection, the philosophical perfection of the Torah. So in terms of philosophical perfection, Maimonides points out very beautifully, the Ben Noach is equal to the Ben Israel. They both have to recognize the creation. No difference. The only thing is that a Ben Noach cannot keep Sabbath, because then he would be involved technically in creating a new commandment, which is not permitted for anyone, Ben Noach or Ben Israel. Or if he takes a commandment and does it not on a voluntary basis, but he does it because he maintains that it's mandatory for him. Then again, what he's doing is he's changing the character of the action, and he's making up his own performance, his own act of mitzvah, which is not permitted. Okay, so I think that on the contrary, what Maimonides does is he shows why the Ben Noach can't do it, but not because the Sabbath is any less significant to him from the standpoint of God's relationship to man. And that, I think, is what David is mentioning. In terms of God's relationship to man, there is no difference. Both have to recognize, that's why Isaiah says, that everyone will come before God on the Sabbath and also on the holiday of the new moon, because the holiday of the new moon is really the holiday of the creation, of the harmony that exists in the universe as well. Okay? I think we should be, let me see, as far as I could see, I think we have to... It's ready for the tape to be turned over, if I'm not mistaken. If anybody have any question, I'll be...
All right. Hey, you're doing good with the clock. It is tape time, Turner. you got a clock and you're dressed for the occasion.
Now, the way that a Ben Noach can recognize the Sabbath is, I believe, explained in the end of Isaiah. We always have to, you know, look for the prophets. So the prophet says that all flesh shall come before me to bow down before me. Am I correct? Is that the verse? I don't have it in front of me. To bow down before me. So we know bowing down before God is part of prayer. So certainly the Ben Noach is entitled to pray on the Sabbath in recognition of the fact that this is a special day where he turns to God and recognizes him as the creator of the universe. That certainly would be appropriate. Or if a Ben Noach wished to recite the beginning of Genesis, especially the end of chapter 1. Let me check my chapters. Hold on a second. I'm not used to chapter and verse. It is, what I'm referring to is, yes, I'm sorry, it's chapter 2. That's where they broke it up. I don't know why, but they broke it up away. Chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. All right? That would be fine, even if he wished to recite that over a cup of wine. To where, you know, because the reciting over a cup of wine is like giving the statement certain very special significance. You're showing the importance. I mean, we even have this in our own culture, sort of like a toast, which means that the statements have a certain value. That's the idea of saying things over wine. It's to express the fact that they're significant statements. And that would be fine in terms of recognition. I could read the entire, you know, the entire first chapter of Genesis plus the first three verses in the second chapter. That the recognition of God through the creation belongs to all of humanity. There is no question about it. The only thing is, as I said, as Maimonides points out, it would be impossible for him to do it in terms of the halachic system, because then it would mean that he's adding something to the halacha which is not permissible. Okay, that's basically the way the issue should be understood, and this is Maimonides' law becomes very clear once you have that underlying premise. You see how all his statements fit right into one category. We did a piece of halacha over here as well. If there are any questions, I'll be glad to take them, because I know that this is a big issue, and I really want to make sure that I do my utmost to clarify this point.
Okay, Gary Buchanan's got a question. Would you walk over here to the microphone, please? You're not going to ask it. All right. Will you come up here and do it through here? No, you come here with this on tape. All right, forget it then. All right, we had one, but they don't want to walk over and talk into the microphone.
Well, maybe they could relay it to you.
Well, I didn't want them to do that because that's, you know, they have to talk and then I have to talk, and, you know, it's easier to do it this way.
Well, it's not my question, but the question was asked why the Ben Noach cannot take on the commandment for the Sabbath voluntarily, but he can take on others voluntarily. They don't understand why he can do the others voluntarily, but not the Sabbath voluntarily.
Okay. Yes, I realize that is a difficult point for a person who is not trained in halacha. This halacha point is a pretty abstract kind of thing in the world of halacha. Now, I know that not everybody will be able to grasp it at this point. Maybe I should have given the other classes in halacha more, so we get more advanced in halacha first. But let me try to explain it again. And that is that a halacha is a certain kind of action which God designates as having a certain significance. Now, every halacha in the Torah can be done, could have been given on a voluntary basis. In other words, let's say you put on the mezuzah, you put it on your doorpost, okay? You're familiar with that. Now, God could have said, you can't put it on, it's a good idea, but if you don't put it on, it's not a violation, you're not in violation. But God didn't do that. The commandments are basically, for the most part, are mandatory. Okay, are mandatory. Now, every commandment, the way it's structured, could either come under a mandatory frame or a voluntary frame. And that's why the Ben Noach can do it, because he could do it under a voluntary frame, but he cannot do it under a mandatory frame. That you've got to have that idea clear in your mind. Because if he does it under a mandatory
frame... Hold on just a second. We got another feedback.
When you mention voluntary and involuntary, are you speaking of Ben Israel as well as Ben Noah, or just Ben Noah?
I'm just speaking about Ben Noah for the most part, because insofar as Ben Israel is concerned, it is not voluntary. It's mandatory. All the commandments are mandatory. There are cases, there are specific activities that are voluntary, but those are rare, very rare. But the commandments in general, the 613, are not voluntary. They're all mandatory. Okay? In other words, the positive commandment, you must do. And if you don't do it, then you're falling short. It's not up to you. It's not an option. Now, the Ben Noach is in a very unique position. And as my wife mentioned, it's for some people an enviable position, because they can do the commandment on a voluntary basis. Now, every commandment lends itself to that kind of a structure, like I mentioned before, like you take the commandment, let's say the commandment of putting the mezuzah on your doorpost. So a Ben Noach can do it in order to receive reward. What does it mean to receive reward? It means to gain the benefit of the commandment. He can do it. No problem. But when you come to Sabbath, that's going to be impossible. Because in Sabbath, you're not doing an action like putting a mezuzah on the door. What you're doing is you're abstaining from work because this day has been halachically created for you as being the Sabbath, which means it comes with all kinds of prohibitions and restrictions. Now, if this day exists for you, you must do it. If the day doesn't exist for you, it's not really halachically anything. Then when you're doing it, you realize you're doing nonsense. Let's say Tuesday, somebody's going to abstain from work on Tuesday. Is there anything, any type, is that considered a halachic performance? It's utter nonsense, because Tuesday doesn't warrant such a kind of activity. Now, Saturday does warrant that activity, because God said that you must keep the Sabbath. So he made it a special entity. But he only did that for Ben Israel, because if he did it for Ben Noach, then everybody in the world would be obligated to keep the Sabbath. But God didn't wish to obligate everyone to keep the Sabbath. He only obligated Ben Israel. Therefore, since the Ben Noach is not obligated to do it, it's not real for him halachically. It doesn't exist for him halachically, because if it existed, he'd have to do it. God can't say, Sabbath exists for you, but you don't have to keep it. Does that make any sense? If God says Sabbath exists for you, that ipso facto, by the very definition of that word, means you must keep it. And since God did not say to the Ben Noach that it exists for him, because the moment he'd say it exists for him, it means, what does it mean it exists? It means he must keep it. He has no choice. But since God didn't say that, now it's impossible for him to volunteer, because such an idea, such a phenomenon does not exist. So it comes out as if he's keeping Sabbath on Tuesday, which would mean it's a worthless performance. But now when we get into worthless performances, we go one more step. A worthless performance is not just a zero, a nothing. It is a minus. Why? Because if you do a worthless performance, what you're doing is you are creating your own religious activity. And to create your own religious activity is a negative. You're not permitted to do that. Therefore, Sabbath, for the Ben Noach, becomes something which, if he did it, it would be sheer nonsense. And since that's the case, halachically it would be nonsense, because the day does not exist for him. Because if God said the day exists for him, he'd have to keep it. It's mandatory. He can't say the day can't just exist in the air, like nothing, have no meaning. There's no such thing in halacha. It's an interesting thing. But there's no such thing as a halacha. It's a funny thing. Halacha, as conceptual and as abstract and as ideational as it is, it always is practical. There's no such thing in the world as just an ideational halacha. It does not exist. As a matter of fact, the Talmud always, whenever the Talmud brings down halacha, the Talmud always says, well, what's the difference? In other words, what's the practical relevance to this? God never gave a halacha that has no practicality. So therefore, if God would say, let's say God would say to the entire world, Sabbath exists for all of you, that would mean that everyone must keep it, because if it didn't, what does it mean Sabbath exists? Sabbath exists what, in the heavens? In other words, no practicality, just in abstract, just an idea? There's no such thing in halacha as just an idea that has no relevance for man, that there's nothing, that there's no activity that it demands of man. No such thing like that. As much as halacha is abstract, it's always tied into the practical. So when God says to the people of Israel, he says, I am giving you the Sabbath. What does that mean, he's giving him the Sabbath? It doesn't mean this day is Sabbath, but you can do whatever you want. That would mean it's just like an idea in the clouds, like nothing. When God says he gives the Sabbath, it means you must keep it. If Sabbath is there, if it's a halachic reality, if it's real, if it's there, you must do something about it. You've got to keep it. That's the practical expression of it. Now, if God would have said to the nations of the world, I am giving you all the Sabbath, so then they'd all be obligated to keep it. They couldn't say, we don't want to keep it. Once God gives it, you've got to keep it, because it means that this day is a reality. It's different, it's real, halachically, and you must keep it. If you didn't, you would be in violation. But God didn't want to obligate all of mankind to keep the Sabbath. Didn't wish to do that. He only obligated the Ben Israel to keep the Sabbath. Therefore, for the Ben Noach, the Sabbath is not a halachic reality. Now, since it's not a halachic reality, if he tries to keep it, it's nonsense. It would be like me trying to keep Sabbath on Tuesday, because there is no Sabbath on Tuesday. You can't make the day. The day has to be made by God into something. Man can't make the day into something. So if I'd be keeping Sabbath on Tuesday, I would just be doing a ridiculous kind of a thing. And that's what the Ben Noach would be doing if he's keeping Sabbath on Saturday even, because since it's not a reality for him, so he's just doing a nonsensical thing. So he'll say, okay, so I'm doing a nonsensical thing. But it's not okay to do a nonsensical thing in Torah. In Torah, if something's nonsensical, that means that there is no real commandment there, then it means you are initiating it. Then we get into problems, because we are not permitted to initiate any kind of religious service that God didn't initiate for us. That's a major principle of the Torah, which is true for Ben Israel and Ben Noach. That's not just the Ben Noach law. That's the law for Ben Israel as well. No human being is allowed to initiate any kind of service to God. That's idolatrous. Idolatry is when man starts imagining...
Rabbi?
Yes?
Let me cut you in here a minute.
Go ahead.
Let me holler at you on this point. Let's look at the other end of this thing. In Isaiah, don't it state that we will observe, that all peoples will observe? Let me read it. If I can see it. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, and so on and so forth. How can that be if it's a penalty now, in this day and time, and we're being Noahs, and we can't observe the Sabbath now? How can that be in this time that this prophecy here is stated at a later date that we're going to be able to do that if it's a violation now?
No. The prophecy is not speaking in the future. The prophecy is speaking every day, right now. You don't have to wait for the future. That prophecy is true today as it was 100 years ago, as it was in the time of Isaiah. So I'm strengthening your point. The prophecy of Isaiah is not something that will be fulfilled in the future. It's something which exists every day, because he says that he's speaking about the... hold on one second. That's in Isaiah... 60, let me just get the...
Isaiah 56:6 and following.
Okay, thank you. Now you're saying, okay, see, he says 56:6, okay? Now over here, this is referring, see, it's referring to the ones that join God, okay, to be servants for him. This is referring to the proselyte, not to the Ben Noach, okay? And what the prophet is saying is that a person who is a proselyte always feels somehow, I think you know the Torah is very sensitive about that. The Torah says that there's a special commandment. You're supposed to love your neighbor, which means you know, your fellow Jew, but then there's a special law that says you must love the proselyte. But the proselyte, the Torah recognizes that a proselyte always feels some or other, you know, not as stable, because he feels he just, you know, he doesn't have his roots here. And roots mean a lot to a person psychologically. So the Torah is very cautious always to be extremely kind and careful with the proselyte, that he shouldn't have any feeling that he's inferior, because he's not. And that's what Isaiah is saying, that the ones who join God, now join God means he joins the Jewish people. He volunteers to be a part of the nation of Israel. So then it says that God will build his holy mountain, and they will all be, they will not be inferior in any manner. Just like it says in verse 4, where it says the ones who don't have any children. That's the plain, I know David has another interpretation, but the plain interpretation is a person that doesn't have any children. A person that doesn't have any children always feels that they're inferior in some way. The prophet is saying is, and that's why it says in verse 3, the person that doesn't have any children shouldn't say, I'm a dried up tree, because no one's going to live after me. So God says, no, he isn't, because he will be in God's house, and he says, I will give him a remembrance that is greater than children. And what the prophet is trying to say is that man shouldn't look for his psychological security. It's not the real security. Real security is what God gives man, and that is the person that is true. He is on the same level as the person is the proselyte is on the same level as the Ben Israel. Now, as a matter of fact, Obadiah was a proselyte. Obadiah was one of the prophets, as you know, and he was a proselyte. So the prophets are always very careful to make sure that a person does not have this wrong social type of evaluation. That's over there. But what you are referring to openly, where it states openly, that's in the end of Isaiah, where it speaks about everyone, not just the Ben Israel. And that is in Isaiah 66 at the end. That is something which will happen in the future. Isaiah 66:23. Okay, where he says that from month to month, new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh will come to bow before me, saith the Lord. That's the one you're referring to. That's something that will happen in the future. It will happen in the Messianic period. And there, you're correct. There it means everyone. But it does not mean keeping the Sabbath halachically. That's the only thing. And that's what I'm explaining. What it means is the recognition of the Sabbath. That the recognition of Sabbath cannot belong to Ben Israel alone, because we're talking about the creator of the universe and the recognition that God created the universe. He's the creator, created in seven stages, and the seventh state is the harmony of the way the whole universe works. That has to be for every single person, be he Ben Israel or Ben Noach. And that's what the prophet says in Isaiah 66. That's very clear. So that's why it says that everyone will bow down before God on the Sabbath in recognition of the fact that he's creator of the universe. That there's no difference between the Ben Israel and between the Ben Noach. In terms of perfection, there's no difference. But halacha has its own... You see, and this is something that we have to become familiar with, and I'm really glad, because I wanted to teach halacha and I wanted to teach this point. And it turns out that by teaching this point, I think I'm teaching more halacha than if I would have taught the Sanhedrin. We have to realize, it's extremely important, that halacha is its own science. As Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say, it revolves around in its own orbit. It has its own unique orbit. It's a very special thing. There's no religion that has anything like it. It's like a special science. And you cannot philosophize halacha. You can't philosophize. Halacha and philosophy are two different things. And this is a perfect example. The Ben Noach is excluded halachically from Sabbath, but not philosophically. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to point this out, like people say, well, a woman is inferior because a woman cannot give testimony in a court. And it's true. It's not, a woman's testimony is not acceptable in the Sanhedrin. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, But the King Messiah also, his testimony is not acceptable. Is not acceptable in the in a court, and it's true. It happens to be true. He's exempted from that testimony. You cannot philosophize halacha. You cannot say because a woman's testimony is not accepted it's because the Torah is saying a woman is inferior. That's philosophizing halacha. There are reasons why there are exemptions in halacha. They are not based upon whether the person is inferior or superior. You have to be able to distinguish that halacha has its own science. It works in its own unique way. I remember one time a convert came over to me and he asked me, he said, a very, really wonderful person. Very, he happened to be a very sincere convert. And he was a professor of philosophy, and he converted to Judaism. So he said to me, he said, look, Rabbi, if you don't answer this question, I won't be upset. I'm still gonna keep all halacha. But why is it that I cannot sit on a, I cannot be a member, not only a Sanhedrin, of even a Beis Din, you know? So I told him, I said, that is a halachic exemption. It is not a reflection upon your status. It doesn't mean that God looks at you as less of a person. The reason for that, as a matter of fact, there are two functions of the Sanhedrin. One is to be the leaders of the law in terms of theoretics. To be the leaders, the teachers. That's one function of Sanhedrin. The second function of Sanhedrin is the executive. Now, the proselyte is only excluded from the executive, but to be the head of the Sanhedrin in terms of teachings, there it's perfectly fine. As you know, Hillel, everyone's familiar with Hillel, the famous Hillel, his teachers were both proselytes. Okay? And the prophet Obadiah is a Meshfoz proselyte. These are not inferior people. He says, on the contrary, these are very superior people. But they still have to abide by the halachic exemption. And I gave him a reason why that's so, but the reason is my own reason. I mean, it could very well be correct, but the reason is unimportant. The point that I was trying to make is that you cannot philosophize halacha. But I'll show you the reason. The reason is very simple. The reason is, probably, as I say, the Torah doesn't give reasons for too much of halacha. But the reason is because when you have a Beis Din, when you have a court, so a court has to work with the people emotionally, not just intellectually. I mean, we're intellectual beings, but for the most part, most people especially, are on an emotional level. That's why, for instance, a Kohen, that is a cripple, is not permitted to do service in the Holy Temple. Not because, heaven forbid, that God looks down on a person that's a cripple. That's ridiculous. That is not we are not Greeks. That's not the idea of the Torah. It's not the physical body. It's not it's not the measure of man. The measure of man is the inner man. So a cripple could be the greatest scholar, the most renowned, most important person in the world. It has nothing to do with it. But in the temple, we can't allow him to do service because of the fact that when people come there, they are emotional. They see a person that's a cripple, it's a turnoff. So of course they're wrong, but the Torah has to work with people's emotions. The Torah can't take people and just make them great. I mean, you have to draw them in, and you have to work with them, and hopefully then you can raise them to a higher level. But you got to work with them where they are. You can't jump and make them all righteous, perfected people in one shot. So the Torah recognizes that the temple is a source of inspiration, and the person that is a cripple can't do that. It's a turnoff. So he is exempted from that. And again, a Kohen who is a cripple cannot work in the temple. The same way a proselyte cannot be on a Beis Din, for a simple reason. You could have a case where you have a man next door, he's serving idols, okay? But he's a very intelligent man. Then one day he recognizes, he says, hey, this is all nonsense. The Torah is the way of truth. He starts pursuing Torah. This man could be a genius, and could be a scholar in a few years. In 5 years, he could be a great scholar. It depends on his aptitude, his abilities. It's possible. There are cases where people, started learning late in life and became giants, Torah giants in a short time. Now what happens is like this. You have this man. 5 years ago, this man was an idolater. Now he's on the Sanhedrin. Now his neighbor comes before him. He doesn't really know what he's doing all these years, not really concerned with him. You know, doesn't necessarily mean he lives right next door, lives a mile away. He doesn't know, he's not involved in his life. But he knew he was an idolater. Now that he comes to the court, and then this man says to him, you owe this man $100,000. You gotta pay him. Now, we know people don't like to part with money. Now what he's gonna say? Say, who are you? You're an idolater. You're telling me what to do? Now, of course, it's just arrogance on the part of a Ben Israel to say such a thing. But the Torah recognizes in a legal system you have arrogant people, and you have to control them through emotions. So I explained to this person, I said, that's why the proselyte, as fine, as wonderful, as brilliant as he might be, cannot have an executive function, because people don't respect a person that they know that a few years ago they felt superior, they're not going to lose their feeling of superiority. I'm the real Ben Israel. He's just, who is this guy coming over telling me what to do? Of course the person is wrong. But a court system has to cater to the emotions of the people. So he could be the head of the Sanhedrin in terms of teaching, because that doesn't affect anybody's emotions. But when you get down to the practical, he's a judge telling people what to do, people are not going to have their awe for him, because they're going to say, who is this guy? As soon as he gives a verdict that goes against their emotions, they're going to be upset. So what I'm trying to bring out is that you can never say from halachic exemptions are there for different reasons. For different reasons. In this case, Maimonides shows you why the exemption is there, because structurally it's impossible to have it. From a logical, conceptual framework, it's impossible to have such a thing. So halachic exemptions are not to be philosophized. And the biggest mistake that is made in this world today, and I'm telling you, I'm not talking about Ben Noah, I'm talking about Ben Israel, people who are members of the Orthodox community, so-called Orthodox community, for instance, the women's movement today, women's lib movement, they are totally wrong. They don't understand that when halacha says that they can't get called up to the Torah, it's not because they're inferior. It's not an inferiority thing. There's a reason why. The reason is because the study of Torah is not mandatory for them as it is for a man. It's not a mandatory practice. And since it's not mandatory, you can't get called up to the Torah to receive it unless it's mandatory. They don't understand the reasons for the halachic exemptions. And what they do is when they see an exemption, they immediately say, you see, that's an injustice. It's not fair. It's based upon ignorance. They simply do not understand how the halacha works. And an exemption does not mean inferiority. As Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say, there's a reason why the King Messiah is...
Rabbi, we got 60 seconds.
Okay. The King Messiah, his testimony is not accepted in court. It's a halachic exemption. Doesn't mean that the King Messiah is inferior. So, you see, this is a very important principle. And that's exactly what Maimonides was saying. To get back to Maimonides, he's saying, do not think because the Ben Noach is exempted from the Sabbath, it's because he's inferior and God doesn't want him to have that opportunity. That's not the reason. He is a part of the Sabbath just like the Ben Israel. He has to recognize God just like the Ben Israel. No difference. The only thing is that halacha cannot work in a manner that would allow the Ben Noach to do it, because he would necessarily, when he understands the Sabbath from a logical standpoint, he would necessarily be involved in adding to the commandments. He would be doing something which halachically doesn't make sense, and which would mean that his activity is in addition to the commandment, which is a prohibition. For both, of course, as I mentioned before. So that's why the Ben Noach cannot keep Sabbath. Not because he's exempted as a human being, because the halachic system cannot... there is no way that the halachic system can accommodate him in this matter. Okay? All right, we'll stop here.
Okay.